And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Monday, May the 8th, 2017 edition of the American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and as always, I'll be with you for the next 2 hours. Now, I chose that lead-in music because I got a story to tell you tonight. Some of you may have heard of it, some of you may not, but it involves a number of people, the old players, if you will, that we've all come to know and love. So, without any further ado, let me get started with this, and let's just see if you can guess who I'm talking about. Way back in the 60s and 70s, Bob was the promotions director for MCA, the same type of job that Sonny Bono was doing at the same time. He had met Sonny and Cher back in 1965 and again in 1966. Now, Sonny and Cher already had a couple of hits, and back in 1983, Bob had relocated from Florida to Atlanta, where he worked as the regional manager out of Atlanta for MCA, with 5 regional offices. There was offices in Marietta, Georgia, in New Orleans, Memphis, Nashville, and one in Miami. Bob left the record business in the early 80s and started a manufacturing company. It was an old toy that he had rejuvenated, he redesigned it, and he kind of made it his own invention. It was a sort of a hand puppet toy that actually looked like a real live animal. Now, his company was called the Animal Factory. He started it out of his basement and did very well over the next couple of years. He couldn't make enough of these as they were extremely popular. It wasn't the kind of puppet that you would put your hand in. It was one that you operated from the outside, and that's what made it look like a real raccoon or whatever it was that they happened to have mimicked. Now, Bob was always backordered. He had reached a point where they had moved into a manufacturing facility in a brand new building laid out exclusively for his company. This was in the Marietta, Georgia area, as I mentioned, and Bob was manufacturing these spring puppets primarily for magicians, but it became so much more popular than that, the sales started going out to the public, specifically for children. Now, this was a demonstration toy, folks, and when it was demonstrated, it looked like a live animal. So Bob took a trip to New York for a marketing show. It was a giant toy show. There were 35,000 buyers from around the world, and Bob's toy was so popular, and so many people were surrounding him. All he was doing was grabbing business cards from prospective distributors, writing people's names down, and telling him he'd get back with them later. Well, when he got back to Marietta, about a week later, he was going over this huge stack of cards and papers that he had written down, or they had written down their names, and he looked at one card and realized that the address on the card was his address, the same address. And he thought that was kind of weird. So he looked at it again, did a double take of it, and realized that it was an adjacent locale, but it was only about 40 feet from him. Now, inside that industrial park area, right close to Lockheed Dobbins Air Force Base, and on the back of the card, it was written, "Get back to me as I want to order a huge number of your toys." So he phoned this guy, and he actually watched him pick up the phone through his window. Well, one thing led to another, and he actually wound up merging the two companies, Bob's and the other gentleman's company, Vista USA. He had Vista Distribution Center USA, Vista This USA, Vista That USA. He had a whole mess of Vista whatever they were. And all these companies that were functioning out of a medium-class industrial park. This man's office, however, looked inside like a palace. The man had $65,000 carpets, exquisite furniture. Everything was top-notch. And in the merger, it was agreed that Bob would move all of his stuff, his equipment and so forth, into the building. Now, Vista Distribution was the import of cheap watches that he would sell to 7-Eleven stores. And after being there a while, Bob started being introduced to military generals that would show up. His partner, the fellow's name was Gary Best, would have closed-door meetings or go out to lunch with these guys. And, you know, Gary would introduce Bob to General Singloff and to a General Adderholt. And then a bit later on, even the famous Lieutenant Colonel Bo Greitz would come in. And originally, these visits appeared to Bob to be social. Later on, however, to Bob's surprise, he walked in one day to hear his partner speaking both in very fluent Vietnamese and also a Chinese dialect. Anyway, on another occasion, Bob arrived to find Gary gone, and when he asked the secretary where he was, she had replied, Geneva, Switzerland. Now, Bob thought about that, and he thought, well, Geneva has no relation to Bob's affiliation business-wise with his partner. And after all, Gary owned other businesses, so Bob just kind of considered it none of his business and, well, pretty much stayed out of it. This was before the days of email, but Bob was starting to notice that there was an extraordinary amount of faxes that would come in, some in sort of a cryptic messaging thing that would say things like, we have received the potatoes and everything is fine. Or in another one, he later found out, came from Bo Greitz, which said, two of the packages are damaged and one of them is irreparably destroyed. Later, Bob found out that the reference was to prisoners of war that Bo was trying to extricate from overseas. The message translated was, two of the POWs had been injured and one of them had been killed. The red flag arose within Bob when he realized that they weren't doing contractually what they were supposed to be, i.e., going on television to promote the toy. That was part of the merger agreement that Bob had with Gary. Well, when that didn't happen, the money Bob was being paid started slowing down. So Bob confronted Gary about the money, the slowdown of it, the crazy faxes coming in, generals waltzing in and out. In essence, Gary, he asked, what am I in the middle of here? Gary told him to close the door. So Bob sits across what looked like a presidential desk, and Gary drops the bomb on him that we sell armaments. Now, Bob confronted Gary about what exactly was going on instead of what he was supposed to be happening with their toy merger and watch sales. And so Gary handed Bob a brochure stating that we're probably going to start handling these. The brochure was for the Hellfire missile. It was a $65,000 missile used back in the 1980s and is still used to this day in every war we've been involved in since. It is then Bob found out that General Adderholt was the guy that ran Air America, which was infamous during the Vietnam War for the drug smuggling and for the weapons. It is then when Bob found out that Gary was an arms dealer that supplied weapons for our covert operations worldwide for the National Security Agency and the Central Intelligence Agency, wars that have been carried out since Vietnam all over the world. These military men were his partners in the business, Gary's partners. He would merge with businesses such as Bob's and use them as covert fronts in utilizing his deals, which were also inclusive of helicopters and warplanes, some of which were interfaced with Lockheed Dobbins just about a block away from their company. Gary made Bob an offer to go into Angola to function as an informational courier for weapons going into a new place of operations. Gary wanted to pay Bob $2,000 per trip to gather info and leave info as a liaison and make it look like he was doing something with the toy company. Needless to say, Bob walked out. The process was mind-boggling. He felt he was in the middle of a James Bond movie. He later had found Gary had used his toys for drug smuggling. Gary had taken a huge load of the puppets, pulled the stuffing out, and shipped them to Guatemala. And in Guatemala, they filled the toys with cocaine and shipped them back to the United States. Bob, through further investigation after the fact, found that Gary was trying to sell military parts to Iran, which was supposed to be against the law, but they were still covertly doing it. So Bob leaves, gets with his lawyer, and says, "Hey, this guy owes me $250,000. Bob had signed all the contracts, he had all the documents, all the proper documentation, all the stamps, all the recordings, everything. He had all the stuff. He had the evidence where Bob had not been paid according to his contracts. The lawyer looks at it and says, "Well, we need to include these generals in all of this stuff. They were part of it." Hold on just a second, folks. Hey, Mike, turn down your mic. I hear you coming through. We had to include all the generals in this stuff because they were part of it. So Bob and his lawyer do a FOIA research prior to proceeding with the legal action. The FOIA request came back with a presidential executive order classifying Bob's toy company and all information out of the toy factory as a national security threat. Now, this is back during the Reagan administration, after Reagan was shot. So this executive order was probably ordered by George H.W. Bush, I would imagine. In short, what the order said to Bob was, "Go fly a kite." This is about a year and a half after the merger. Bob had his puppets classified as a national security threat. Now, it's about this time when Bob starts hearing reports via the media of the starting of the Iran-Contra investigation. Bob almost ran off the road when he heard a talk radio show host on his radio mentioning the same generals that were in his toy factory. So Bob contacted Senator John Kerry's office and informed them that he had a lot of information on what the, quote, officials were looking into. And one of John Kerry's staff asked Bob what he was talking about. Bob gave him a few names, and the staff member replied, "You're right in the middle of it." So Bob became a witness in the Iran-Contra hearings by being interviewed by two of their top shysters, including a guy that was their primary investigator for the committee that actually was the CIA station chief during the Vietnam War. So here is the guy that was actually totally in bed with everybody for years and years, and it was he that was supposedly to be investigating, which is why the Iran-Contra hearings went no place when they could have actually gone through the ceiling. So throughout this, over the next few years, Bob had met many senators and congressmen and sort of became his own investigative journalist. He got good at it and started assisting people like Henry Gonzalez with the banking fraud, Senator John Kerry in the Iran-Contra mess, Congressman Dante Faisal of Miami with the October Surprise of 1988 investigation, then later appeared before the Senate Intelligence Committee with Bill Alexander from Arkansas, relating to drugs, money laundering, and Contra stuff related to, guess who, Bill Clinton. Then eventually, through contacts, Bob met Sonny Bono's administrative director. Relative to the Waco investigations, this guy, which was very much had freaked Sonny out. Sonny was very upset about the Waco investigation. Sonny actually broke down in tears when he realized that we had killed all those innocent children at the Waco compound. Sonny was one of the few guys that was not controlled by anybody. He was actually just a good guy. Sonny was totally blown away for the first year or two when he realized how absurdly crooked and corrupted the entire Washington, D.C. scene was. So, one thing led to another, and Bob had compiled an immense amount of serious documentation. Bob was getting real serious about this and actually ran for Congress against Bill McCollum in Orlando, Florida back in 1990. So everybody, including Sonny, knew Bob was serious. With no money and no name, Bob came within 9 points of winning that congressional seat. Bob was able to establish relationships with many people in Washington. Some thought him radical because of his tenacity regarding the Iran-Contra subject, but the ones that knew the extent of what was going on took him very seriously. Bob had finished a report for Sonny and was speaking with guess who? Maxine Waters, because she was yelling and screaming at the time that she wanted to investigate the CIA and their connection to the drug smuggling operation in California. So for the next few years, Bob had been supplying information to both Maxine Waters and Sonny Bono's offices on 2 or 3 different inquiries. Bob then finished an extensive report relating to drugs, narcotics, money laundering, etc., and delivered the finished report to many high-level people in the United States government. Bob finished and delivered it around 1997 to Sonny and Maxine as well, at the same time, same day. This was both on paper and VHS, and Bob actually had amazing statements on video of some of the biggest drug operators in the world. These were guys naming very high-level people in our government, in both parties, that they had been dealing with for many years. Vice President Bush was up to his keister in everything that was Iran-Contra. It was all his stuff, and he was involved very closely with Bill Clinton. As I've said for a long time, folks, they're friends behind the scenes. So on the surface, they'd throw stones at one another politically, but behind the scenes, Bush and Clinton were in bed with each other on the drug and money laundering issue. It had taken a few months from the time Bob put his reports in the hands of Frank Cullen. Frank was Sonny's administration assistant and his press secretary. Finally, Sonny had the opportunity to actually sit down and go over Bob's report. And when he did, Bob heard from Frank that Sonny was livid. When Sonny saw the ruination of people's businesses, the gun running, the drugs, the arms operation, the flagrant use of military and aircraft personnel, and even military airbase, the naming of names of high-level people in our government who had been accomplices to murders and drug smuggling associated with them, all of the covert and corrupt stuff that had been going on with these people for better than 25 years. Does that ring a bell with any of you on the Hillary and Bill death list? I'm not done yet, folks. It gets better. Frank Cullen called Bob in December 1997 and informed Bob that Sonny had decided he was going to be promoted to the Intelligence Committee starting after the congressional holiday break. He would now be granted subpoena powers, and he was going to subpoena all these people and bring them in. George H.W. Bush in the mix. Bill Clinton, all of them. Frank wanted to confirm assurance from Bob that he would help with the delivery of the information and the documentation with witnesses. Sonny was going after these guys hook, line, and sinker. We'll take a break. Be back. Stick around. You don't want to miss this one.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hi folks, let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game, at the top of your game, with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you from the Valley of the Sun, live. All right, a story that you don't want to miss. Now, I'm going to get back to this story right after the bottom of the hour break, but I wanted to give you a little bit of an update here. I understand that a few of the other hosts have now jumped on the bandwagon here in their attempts to raise money for the pledge drive for the network. And I want to share with you that, well, first of all, me being the, I don't want to call it greedy because I don't get any of this, but I want to be the first guy to hit my goal so I can stop doing it. So, again, folks, I want you to do me a favor and make a donation in my name to RBN. Go to the, pick up the telephone, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Again, that's 800-724-2719. Extension 3, and make a donation, folks. Make sure that you tell them it's because you're listening to my show. And also, if you want to drop it in the mail, I listened to John's show today, and he had mentioned if you're going to put any money in the envelope, wrap it in foil so they don't open it up and take it. If you want to do that, you want to send it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Again, that's 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Also, I wanted to add, I talked to John today on the telephone, and what I'm going to do here, this is what we're hoping, is that it's going to pull in enough funds to get, take, as I said before, take the stress off of John and give them the opportunity to focus on other things. Now, what I'm going to be doing here behind the scenes is I'm going to start calling some of these advertisers, some of these people that have these products, and I'm going to try to make a deal with them. And hopefully we can get something going here where in the future, folks, when you're buying products, you can go and buy them through the website, or you can get a code number from RBN, call them up, get a discount for purchasing it, and also hopefully RBN will be compensated. This is what I'm going to try to work with some of the owners of these products behind the scenes and see if we can't generate some revenue that way. In the meantime, as I said, you know, we haven't got that up and running. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be replaced. There's a lot of stuff that needs to be cleaned up. The online store with RBN is not functioning well. There's some things that need to be done with the website to optimize it and put it up into the 21st century. And all of these things take money, folks. So a number of us are now kicking in to promote this pledge drive. Pick up the phone, 800-724-2719. Make a donation, $20, $50. If you can afford $100, throw it in there. Every little bit helps. I had a conversation with Ron McDonald yesterday, actually. Him and I talked about this for about a good half hour yesterday. Very nice guy. Going to have Ron up on my show here probably in the not-too-distant future, I guess. He's in the process of writing another book that's coming out in the not-too-distant future. I don't know. Might talk about the book, might talk about the network. Very, very fascinating guy to talk to. Doesn't get a lot of chance to talk on John's show. John does most of the talking. I noticed that today. But at any rate, getting back to it, again, folks, I want to, you know, one more time, I want to ask you politely, make a donation, put my name on it, say, I heard it on Michael's show, I'm donating $50 or whatever you're doing, so I get credit for it. So the sooner I can hit this goal, the sooner you're not going to have to hear me barking at you. Because I know you don't like to hear this any more than I like to say it. I don't like to do it, and I don't want to do it, but it is necessary to keep this network functioning. And speaking of functioning, you have to, again, I want you to ask yourself, folks, where are you going to get other information? Now, something that I noticed, and I heard this sneak out not too long ago, RBN doesn't screen their phone calls. We'll pick up the phone and talk to anybody. We will put them on the airwaves, and they can speak about whatever they like. Unusual as it may be, I thought that InfoWars was the same way, but I heard it slip out last week when I caught a snippet of that program that they actually screen their calls on the subject matter. RBN doesn't do that. I don't think there are any other networks, with the exception of InfoWars, that does do that. We don't care what you talk about. We don't have any problem with any question you ask. We may or may not be able to answer it, but remember, folks, we're kind of like a family, all right? We need to keep this family in order, and RBN is the voice for it. We'll be back in three. I'll get back to my story. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's ICANGET, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago,
My wife bought Extendolite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendolite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Now, I'm going to get back to this story, but there's something else I'm going to throw in the mix here. And I haven't done a lot of research. I've done a little research on this, but not a lot. But I wanted to throw this out just to give some food for thought and maybe get your thoughts on it as well. But from what a lot of people didn't know is that Sonny Bono and John Denver were very good friends. And they both loved to ski. John Denver's plane, his experimental plane, went down on October 12th, 1997. Now, Bob had given this information to Frank Cullen right around August, September, in that area. So Sonny would have had time to consult with his good friend about this, whether it was just through friendship, maybe they had gone out and had dinner, whatever. I'm not saying that that happened. What I am saying is this. I watched a reconstruction of John Denver's plane crash, and it reeks of the same thing that happened to JFK Jr.'s plane. Now, JFK Jr., as we know, was running against Hillary Clinton for the Senate. He also had a magazine called George and was always trying to find out who killed his husband. Was that a cryptic message he was sending out with the name of his magazine? Anyway, the way JFK Jr.'s plane went down was totally ridiculous as far as any pilot is concerned, because I've flown a Piper Saratoga. I used to own a 210 Centurion. And if an airplane of that size or an experimental plane such as John Denver's runs out of fuel, which is the official story in the John Denver case, The plane would simply glide either to the beach, or if it was too low, he would have just made a water landing and walked away from it. He might have broke his arm or something like that, but something very minor. John Denver's plane went straight down, as did JFK Jr.'s plane, with a light plane. And by the way, John Denver was a qualified pilot. He had a glider's license, and he also was jet rated. So John was a very experienced pilot with over 2,000 hours, more hours than I had. I had about 1,500 hours. But the conclusion of John Denver's death was very fishy from the first time I saw it. But I had a chance to take a look at a reconstruction of that crash. Now I'm looking at the fact that John Denver and Sonny Bono were good friends, and they both loved to ski. So getting back to this, as I had mentioned, Frank Cullen wanted to confirm assurance from Bob that he would help with the delivery of information and documentation to Sonny with the witnesses. Sonny was going after these guys, according to Frank, hook, line, and sinker. And when I say these guys, I'm talking about the guys that were running the operation, the Iran-Contra, the MENA Arkansas drugs, the Clintons, George H.W. Bush, all of these guys. So Sonny had all the information sitting right on his desk. Now, Bob was elated with the news, and he asked Frank to give him a timeline. Frank replied to Bob that they were going on the Christmas break, and as soon as they returned, it was the first and foremost thing on Sonny's list. And Frank then asked again if Bob was totally on board. Bob replied, absolutely. 10 days later, Sonny Bono was dead. Now, with the inside view of what Bob had seen over the years in Washington, a plane crash here, a heart attack there, wouldn't mean much to the public. But according to the inside information that Bob had, and knowing behind the scenes that these so-called accidents always coincided with someone who was going to testify, come clean or spill the beans about something, the first thought Bob had about Sonny was, oh my God, it was a hit. So Bob called Frank Cullen, and Frank wouldn't take Bob's call. Now, 10 days earlier, Bob had called Frank, or Frank had called Bob with exuberant enthusiasm, asking Bob if he was on board. And now Frank won't take his calls. Then Bob tries to get the results of Sonny's autopsy. Impossible. Later, Bob finds out that Sonny's own mother couldn't get it until she hired a lawyer and a separate investigator. It took Bob over 9 months to get the autopsy report. Bob finally gets the report, hoping that his suspicions are wrong. But then, in the back of his mind, he knows that, from the bad guy's point of view, Sonny had to be stopped before opening an investigation, or if they didn't stop him, even if they had offed him, the investigation would still continue. So Bob starts to examine the autopsy report. The first page was relatively normal, but what caught Bob's eye was that there was a prominent amount of blood staining on the back of Sonny's jacket. And that staining penetrated through 3 other layers of clothing. Now, there was a problem with that. There was no wound on Sonny's back at all. The wound to Sonny's head, both of them, were over his right eye, his forehead, and his right temple. A collision into a tree might cause his black eye, his split lip, and damage to his right forehead, but it would not explain the extensive blood on his back soaking through 4 layers of clothing without a back wound. There was also an L-shaped tear on the back of his jacket. And although reports say that Sonny was going 30 miles an hour down the slope and collided with a tree, hard enough to kill him, but yet there is no neck damage, that in itself is next to impossible. Most people that die in skiing accidents, in a collision either with another skier or a tree, they actually die from a broken neck. A strange anomaly with Sonny is, normally on a skiing collision accident, when the head hits an object at that speed, i.e. 25 to 30 miles an hour, there would always be what is called a contra-coup injury. That would be bruising found in the back of the head caused by the force of the brain against the back of the skull. In Sonny's case, there was no contra-coup injury, indicating that it is likely Sonny's body wasn't going 25 to 30 miles an hour and slamming into a tree. The conditions were excellent that day, and Sonny was an excellent skier. And as a former skier myself, which I had skied many times back in Indiana, I find it very difficult to believe that a skier of Sonny's caliber could ever meet his demise in such a fashion. I've skied at least 50 times in my life, and I consider myself a novice, yet I've always known how to stop short of a tree. Sonny was found 120 feet away from the ski trail, another anomaly that for any skier makes no sense. And yet another statement made by the sheriff's department was that apparently Sonny did not put his hands up to fend off the collision. He ran straight on at 30 miles an hour and never even reacted involuntarily by putting his hands up and crashing headfirst into a tree. Now, that, folks, is simply unbelievable. You can't do that. Your involuntary bodily reaction would not allow you to do that. It's built into us. It is an involuntary reaction. If you're sitting in a chair and I throw a ball at your face, you're going to react by putting your hands up. You can't help it. Now, according to the report, some of the fractured bone had a curved configuration to it. So to get an indentured wound to the bone and skull itself, you would have to have a very serious hit with a very small, rounded, curved object. A tree doesn't fit that description. A pistol barrel would, but not a tree. It looks more like there were two people, one who held his arms back, the other likely left-handed, that hit him in the head with the pistol. The perpetrator likely removed Sonny's woolen ski cap and hit him three or four times with a barrel of a .45. The size of the curvature described in the autopsy would fit the size of the barrel of a .45 pistol. The nip cap is very important for two reasons. First, for the damage done to his skull from the autopsy, wearing a nip cap likely folded at the impact point of his skull, Sonny would have had to have been traveling much faster than 30 miles an hour. And secondly, there was no knit cap recovered from the scene. The perpetrator had to have taken the cap before hitting Sonny, and then he took the cap with him. Also, the blood seeping through the back of Sonny's jacket, some of which actually stained the upper part of his underwear, didn't come from any wound on Sonny's back. It likely came from a blow to the nose, possibly by Sonny's elbow to the person holding him from behind, causing him to bleed a number of drops into the tear on Sonny's jacket. If Sonny did go face first into a tree, physics dictate that the body would likely be unconscious and collapse backward. Sonny was found lying on his right side, his damaged skull in the snow, with his right hand wrapped around the tree. There was no tree debris, no bark, or anything like that found anywhere on his person, on his head, or otherwise. It is likely the person holding Sonny's arms, contracting a bloody nose in the scuffle, took Sonny's knit ski cap with him from the scene to wipe the blood from his nose. And also, Sonny was wearing a turtleneck, and there was snow found inside of the neck of the turtleneck, which would be consistent with someone dragging him up to the tree. Now, there was a dire need for the bad guys to get rid of Sonny within that two-week period. And in Bob's report, there were a number of high-level drug lords that would be suspect. One is Khun Sa, a high-level Burmese drug lord who supplied as many as 1,500 tons per year of raw opiates into the free world. And he named four separate CIA agents that had been buying from him for years. And any one of those four had a very serious need to stop Sonny from arriving back in Washington after the holidays. And additionally, there is an agent on Bob's video, a female, that says she killed, that says she knows who killed Vince Foster. She claimed that a friend of hers in the FBI was drunk a couple of days after Vince Foster's death. He called her on the telephone and said, "We killed Vince Foster," and she named the guy's name. Then we have all the men involved in the Iran-Contra mess, the money laundering, the fraudulent exchange of funds between the banks, Oliver North in his own handwriting stating that he's picking up 1,500 kilos of mash, three or four other major drug suppliers, all of whom are in prison now, any one of a dozen or more whose names could be on the forthcoming subpoenas that would contract a couple of professional assassins. Any of them could be suspect. So in closing this portion of this report, there were photographs taken of the approach that Sonny was alleged to have taken in hitting this 18-inch wide tree. The direction Sonny would have been heading was obstructed by a log lying in the snow. So to hit the tree at the angle reported would have been impossible. Now, there's a couple of footnotes on this before I go into a couple of other articles written by the DC. I can't remember. I'll have to go in there and look. But in closing, the footnotes. Maxine Waters, the one that we've seen. I mean, remember, folks, this happened in 1997. But as I've told you before, a lot of these people are still in there to this day. They're still around. Maxine Waters ultimately got the same information that Sonny Bono got. She did nothing. Okay. All right, let me do this again. Maxine Waters did nothing. When Bob delivered his report to her assistant, Bob told him there were Democrats involved in this as well, and her assistant replied, "We don't care. Let the chips fall where they may." Maxine Waters shut her mouth and let it die. Frank Cullen never spoke to Bob again. Frank Cullen also never spoke to another dedicated friend, a female assistant that he had known for 15 years and aided Sonny Bono as well. Obviously, they scared Frank Cullen into silence. Now, interestingly enough, all reporting of this event has been pretty much just blacked out of the American media. We don't hear anything more about it. Cher didn't order a new investigation of it. Nothing happened. And so it just fades off into the annals of history, never be to be talked about again. That's here, but not in Australia. It is now news in Australia that new evidence has turned up that suggests the California Congressman Sonny Bono was murdered and did not die in the skiing accident, as we have been repeatedly told. Although he was an American whose job was to represent Americans, as far as the mainstream United States press is concerned, the news is unworthy of the attention of the people of the United States. This is the same American press, of course, that never breathed the slightest hint of suspicion that there might have been foul play involved when the experienced skier Bono was reported to have slammed into a tree at the Heavenly Valley Ski Resort in Nevada. I've skied there, by the way, folks. Nice place. On January 5th, 1998. There were no witnesses. The autopsy report was not released to the public, and Bono had shown himself to be something of a thorn in the side of Washington officials, which is probably all the more reason for the lapdogs who call themselves journalists to have basically dummied up. For Americans, the new revelations can be found buried away and ignored. I hear the music. All right, we're coming up on the break, folks. I'll continue with this on the other side. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening. Be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
All right, folks, we're back with The American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Yeah, for Americans, these new revelations can be found buried away and ignored by respectable people. In the United States supermarket tabloid Globe, it hit the news racks April 4th. It doesn't say what year. They were said to have been gathered by investigator. The Bob that I was talking about is Bob Fletcher, folks, who, according to the Globe, was connected to the case even before Bono died. But that wasn't all. Remember, it was Bill Clinton that was directing, overseeing these operations out of Mena, Arkansas, and the Iran-Contra thing, and it was George H.W. Bush that I think he was taking the orders from. And believe it or, and by the way, okay, it was also that administration where Janet Reno had ultimately given the order to carry out the CS4 gassing of those kids in Waco and all of the participants there. But I'm going to get into that. Bob feels partially responsible for what happened to Sonny Bono because before Bono's death, he had been probing the activities of these high-ranking military and government officials he claims were raking in millions from the arms and drug deals in Central America and Southeast Asia. And he had sent all of his findings to Bono. So Bono, as I said, made it his number one priority right after the holidays to go after these people. When you start going after the Clintons and go after George H.W. Bush and go after all these high-level generals, well, we see what happens on the Clinton death list, don't we? After reviewing the shocking secret documents, former FBI, the late FBI agent Ted Gunderson told the Globe that the official version of Sonny Bono's death was hogwash. It's nonsense for anyone now to try to suggest that Bono died after crashing into a tree. And there's zero evidence in the autopsy report or any of those official documents that show such an accident happened. Instead, there's powerful proof that he was assassinated. There was an evil plot that was carried out to almost perfection by ruthless assassins. And even though the two online Australian newspapers attribute their article to staff writers, it's the same short article in The Australian, in The Mercury, The Voice of Tasmania, and The Daily Telegraph. And the article begins, Sonny Bono, former husband and singing partner of superstar Cher, was clubbed to death by hitmen on the orders of the drug weapons dealers who feared he was going to expose them. Ted Gunderson, now passed on, was a private investigator, and he told the U.S. Globe tabloid that Bono, who served as mayor of Palm Springs for 4 years, did not die after hitting a tree. So identical are they, in fact, that all three of them have the first sentence of these three newspapers in bold print. Bono was an experienced skier. Everybody says the same thing. He was ambushed on the slopes by hired hitmen who beat him to death and then staged the tree collision. That was according to Gunderson. He called for the authorities to dig up Bono's remains and open a homicide investigation, which they never did, by the way. His claims have reportedly been backed by top forensic experts who fear Nevada authorities were too quick to call the death a skiing accident. When we get back from the break, I'm going to give you another reason why they came after him. So stick around. I'll see you on the other side.
There's nothing left for me to figure out. I've paid a price. And I'll keep paying.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.